Sometimes dead is better.
Welcome back to Give Me Back My Horror Movies. With me, as always, is Charlie.
Hello, Master.
Yes, and next to him is Pete.
You're going to give yourself a hickey doing that, Nate. I can see it already. You got this little spot on your throat there.
Oh, wow.
What are we watching tonight, guys?
Well, the wheel decided, and I finally got a pick. And the wheel of pain decided I would bring Dracula Dead and Loving It to the podcast.
We're all on the board, and wow, a hell of a way to get on the board, Nate. You've been itching for this movie for a long time.
This was honestly just throwing it on the board and like, this won't happen, but maybe there's a chance the universe will allow it.
And it did.
Wheel of Pain.
Didn't fall on, you know, April Fools, but you know, I'll take it. It's April.
Yeah, close enough. It's the month of chaos, so you know you don't want things to happen like they should.
You know, years ago, I would have never thought we'd have an opportunity to cover our Mel Brooks movie on this show. Was it on the radar?
I honestly, there's a few that I'd have to like really bend the rules. I don't know. Spaceballs, I think we all could.
Spaceballs, we could probably all agree that we could cover
that
one.
Action, I suppose. I mean,
we're bending the rules. Just use your Schwartz.
Yeah. Robin Hood Men in Tights, I probably could make an even bigger argument.
Yeah, we will bend the rules like the arrow does. It goes around.
Exactly. Yeah. Patriot arrow. You know. God, let me tell you, that's a hard thing when watching this movie, knowing that they're only like a year or two apart, and you're seeing like, I don't know, eight of the original actors from Robin Hood Men in Tights during this movie.
Lincoln.
Mel Brooks has his favorites, and
his old core. Stuff,
he would bring people in and around, and if you liked you, he'd get put you in movies. So.
Right. It was just kind of wild to see Amy Yasbeck basically being the exact same character from Men in Tights. Even her maid in this one is Browbush.
The other one.
I can't remember her name. Broomhilda. That's what
Broomhilda
it was.
And the
Broomhilda. I was thinking of the one lady from
not
Frankenstein.
Brooker.
Yeah, Frau Brooker. I need to add the lightning and everything as I said it. Well, I do have a trailer. We already told them that we're doing the Dracula.
You're going to be like, this is straight from the 90s. We're going to be able to know. And I have a feeling it's going to end with, I was having a daymare.
That was a dumb line.
No, that's not a stupid line at all. You're stupid.
We'll just listen. It's fine.
This is the frightening and shocking tale of Count Dracula. Vampires do exist. This one we face is unlike any other. He can change the most innocent of humans.
But you see, I'm British.
So are these.
Women are rendered powerless under his spell.
Stand up. Not you. Sit. You stand. No, sit. No, stand. Now, walk to the terrace door. Watch out!
His evil desire has no end.
She's alive?
She's Nosferatu.
She's Italian? Up there!
Make no mistake, he must be stopped. Leslie Nielsen, Peter McNichol, Stephen Weber, Amy Yazbeck, Lizette Anthony, Harvey Korman, and Mel Brooks.
If she dies, a victim of this unspeakable creature,
she will become one herself.
What?
She will become one herself.
Dracula, dead and loving it.
Ah, it's good to be dead.
That's a really good trailer.
It's better when you get to see all the gags, you know. Honestly,
oh yeah, definitely.
This is one of the downsides to covering comedy on a spoken podcast is you just end up repeating all of the
jokes
and all of the
sight
ones. You clicked
off the episode, you knew what you're getting yourself in for.
Oh yeah,
wrong me, my brain's out all night long.
My God.
I do have one question. So this is classic trailer voice guy.
Yeah.
Right. So
I mean, it's one of them.
What would it be like to have this dude's voice just in everyday life? So you try to tell a joke to your kid. Hey, Bobby, why did the chicken cross the road? I mean, does it have an impact?
I think the kids don't give a shit. They're like, shut, dad.
No, I want that person to just work at like McDonald's. That way they're like,
you want a combo? You want fries with that?
I don't know why R sounds like a serial killer, though.
I was going to say, you guys sound nothing like
that. Actually.
I'm trying. I can't reproduce that.
In a world.
Yeah, you know, now that's where it's at.
I was just curious if...
it's like most famous dads, their kids don't give a shit, you know? Yeah. One of the Avengers or something, their kid was going out for Halloween and they didn't want to dress up as their character. They dressed up as like Captain America or Ant-Man or something. Like they had no interest in being Iron Man. If it was,
that feels like something Jeremy Renner's kids would do.
Or Jeremy Renner's or Thor's.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth's kids.
That would be Hawkeye.
Nobody That's wants it. To be Hawk.
I'm not Varys. Going home.
Peter Criss doesn't even want to be Peter Criss. You know, so that's pretty much how that tracks. So I guess we should talk about our memory with it. And I think Nate should go last because obviously
I demand here. To go last. So you should go first.
Yeah,
what's your earliest memory with this?
I love Mel Brooks, and I only saw this a couple years ago.
Oh wow!
This is the second time I've watched Dead and Loving It. It was Mel Brooks' last movie,
which is amazing. Did flop super hard.
Yeah, and maybe that's why I didn't go see it. I didn't have anybody tell me, hey, this is a great one. Like I remember Men in Tights.
It came out a poor time in December. Under the radar, you know, kind of thing.
Monster movie in December. Those don't fly usually.
That's your reward season movies.
It's a fairly new watch for me. So there you go. That's my history with it.
Oh, all right. Quick and easy. Right. Charlie, right. You?
Yeah. Very similar to Pete, although I watched this way back when, not long after it came out. And I had not watched it again till last night. It's been that long of a span of watching this. And like Pete, I'm a pretty big Mel Brooks fan. It's a household name, you know, growing up. I probably saw Blazing Saddles way too young. Edited, obviously, like on TNT or something. But there were still jokes in there that I never understood.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I finally saw the uncut version of Blazing Saddles, I was like, what?
Yeah, it's shocking the first time you see it.
It very much is. And obviously I grew up, you know, watching like Spaceballs and things like that. And Robin Hood Men in Tights is basically, to me, it's like his pinnacle. Like that is one of the greatest Mel Brooks movies for me. So yeah, I watched this one when I was younger, and then I watched it again last night. Had a blast watching it last night, laughing. Jackie doesn't usually like these type of movies. She's laughing during it. Nice. She's like in on the jokes. Normally she cannot stand like when I watch Airplane or Hot Shots or anything that is this like slapsticky of a comedy. Mm. She does not like them. She was laughing at Dracula Dead and loving it. So it was a good time had last night. So that's my history with it. Nate, you put this on the wheel.
I did.
Didn't think it was going to happen. And you've actually talked about this movie once before. So
yeah, I adore this movie. This, so Robin Hood Men in Tights was the first Mel Brooks movie I ever got to see.
Wow.
So then when this had came out shortly after, it was like, oh God, like that, it's got that same like funny guy in it. Like I didn't know who Mel Brooks was. I was too young. So yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
You know, but at some point too, he appeared on The Simpsons as himself. Like Homer is driving him in a limo. So it's just like, this is the time where I'm really learning about comedy is Mel Brooks and The Simpsons. And I loved Naked Gun as a kid too. So Leslie Nielsen, didn't really know who he was at the time yet either. But the following year after this, Spy Hard came out. And then I think the year after that, Wrongfully Accused came out. And I will still stand by those movies being comedic gold. So I absolutely love this movie. Much like how Dustin said, Duncan Rieger from Monster Squad is his Dracula. Leslie Nielsen is my Dracula, because I think this also might be my first Dracula experience as well.
No kidding.
Because I did not see Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula until I was like a teenager. I remember that was one of the ones like we just never rented for some reason. But also I was really young, and I think that was they're like, oh, for like a family night, we're not gonna go.
You would have been bored out of your mind watching
that. So when I did finally see it as a teenager, I was like, holy shit, this is a really fantastic movie, and I don't care what anyone says about Keanu Reeves. I would keep him there.
I enjoy it. I'm just saying, for a young kid, obviously. Oh, yeah. You know, Gary Oldman never took his hat off. That was the only problem.
Would you look that good in that hat?
Great hat.
I am fairly certain I could be mistaken. In the brief moments where we had like satellite or cable before we'd get shut off for not paying the bill, this was either a pay-per-view rental or we got it on Starz during one of the free weekends.
Good old free weekends, man.
Yep. And I also remember my mom being very concerned because of how much I was laughing at the intestine scene where those are getting passed around.
But more specifically,
the greatest gag in the movie with the stake to the heart.
Yeah.
And how much blood comes out and a little me just adoring it. And then I think it was like when I turned 15, I found the movie on DVD and instantly bought it for like with my birthday money. So this is constantly on. It's usually on during Halloween. My buddy Dom and I quote this nonstop. We always say, I saw everything. This is in my lexicon. Like this whole movie, I could quote the entire time. And I still laugh out loud at like everything. When Renfield goes, hold on, master, and he has to go upside down to talk to Leslie Nielsen.
All the blood is rushing to my head.
I'm getting a headache, master. Peter McNichol is a comedic genius in this film. Yeah,
when he popped up on screen last night, I thought it was Pee-wee from Porky's.
Oh, so but that's what, okay.
That's what I say, hey, it's Pee-wee, and it's not the same.
You're just on a big Porky's kick right now.
I
you really are.
You just keep bringing up Porky's.
It's Janosch from Ghostbusters 2.
Ghostbusters 2, right. after watching it a little while, I'm like, oh, that's
command me, Lord.
Yeah. He's great.
He's basically doing the same thing in this movie. Yeah, he's totally taken over.
But that's okay.
It fits. A commentary track with just him and Mel Brooks explaining how the hell he pulled off such an amazing performance. Like when they're on the Demeter and the way that they open up the ship doors, and it's just this unhinged look on his face with a big old smile and him going, "I'm here, master. Let me help you."
I think that was the first moment Jackie really started laughing, was the whole coffin sliding back and forth. And then Janosch climbs on top of it, and it's not a stunt person in this scene.
No,
it's him.
He's getting smashed.
He kind of misses, and there's a moment it hurt. It had to hurt. I don't care. And he plays it off perfectly because it could be a one shot kind of thing.
There's a couple one shot things in here, and you know that is a soundstage that they have set up on like hydraulics to tilt it. You know.
But yeah, and I'm cracking up because I get this humor. I get this comedy. It strikes a nerve with me that really makes me laugh, and I have a ball with it. And the dumbest stuff, I will just sit there and giggle and laugh and just have so much affinity for it, man. Mel Brooks knows comedy, and I don't know. There's not a word that I can use to describe it on how happy I get when I watch a Mel Brooks movie. You know,
it's something magical.
It's just so good. It is. You know? Magical is probably the best way to do it. And he can do it. It's crude, but not blue crude. You know, he doesn't push it over a line, but you know, it's not like Eddie Murphy raw or anything like that.
No, but like. The man found a way at the end of like History of the World Part One of like Hitler on Ice. It's like that is a joke only he could pull off. Because anyone else would be like, ooh, I don't know. But like taking back, you know, the power of you know, with that Jewish comedy is so damn great.
Yeah.
And the producers, there's a song called Springtime for Hitler in Germany.
Yeah.
Springtime for Hitler.
The producers is one of my favorites.
It's so like, good. Yeah.
And honestly, there's no one else that could have ever pulled off Blazing Saddles.
No.
Way they were able, and it's still prevalent. You know, people still watch it. People are still discovering it, and they're like, well, we get it. We understand what he's saying in this, and it's so insane, but it's not wrong what he's doing in these. No. You know, it's not, he's not making fun of, he's just making fun of the people that it might actually offend.
Yeah.
So if this offends you, there's something wrong with you.
There's a great, he just has a great like way of executing comedy. And I do think with this is more of a straight up parody than like what Young's Frankenstein is.
True.
And I think that's where maybe people are a little upset because this is kind of low hanging fruit comedy, but it works for me, you know,
like, right.
Yeah. Where, there is something completely genius about Young Frankenstein that is hard to duplicate. I would never want him to duplicate it for this. Even not making it in black and white, I think was the right call.
I think Gene Wilder wrote most of Young Frankenstein.
Yeah. And he just wanted his friend to direct
Mel Brooks
it.
Came in to both direct and spit polish the script. But Mel Brooks has a way of directing comedic timing. Like few people ever do. Blake Edwards is really good at comedic timing as he brings with all his Pink Panther movies as people are almost backing into each other and then rotating and continue walking in a straight line. This is the same. Mel Brooks has a way of directing comedic timing like no other. You just don't get this kind of comedy in most comedies. Most comedies are joke telling and silly situations where this is just, well, I guess this is the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's the perfect humor for a kid because you have physical comedy. Yeah. It's not like a million jokes like rapid fire. It's just joke hits, another joke hits, another joke hits. It's very much like a cartoon where, you know, they're all just spread out perfectly. A good example, I think, is the Moldova talk where they're just yelling at each other insults and gibberish, but it's whatever, yeah. You know, Dracula's, and they're just keep trying to get the last word in. But then, like, you finish that joke. Movie. Yeah. And then, like, Dracula rocks past the window, gets another insult in. And then you get the jokes with Van Helsing being like, I'm starting to think there's a possibility it's him. And they're like, so you're saying yes? He goes, no, I'm actually saying no. It may not be him. They're like, ah, so it's not him. And they're like, well, not quite exactly.
That's not what I'm saying. Well, his comedy timing really works. And I think it starts right off the bat with Dracula falling down the stairs.
Oh, my God.
Gets up. And I'm totally fine. Why would that bother me? And they walk up the stairs, and his shadow is the thing going, oh my God.
And then it hits that. You with the joke of him passing through the web and Renfield walking through it and getting stuck in it, and just this physical comedy that, of him like, what coming?
Renfield is. He's got physical comedy down in this movie. Like, he's not really known for that, but he nails it.
Oh my God.
In this movie, he literally throws himself around. He falls. He's still pulling the web off of himself when he walks. And then he goes fully straight laced, like attorney. Like, I'd like to see the papers for Carfax. He's yes. And he still has the web on his hand, but he goes right straight into business mode.
And then, like, he gets the paper cut, and just the amount of blood and the fact that he is basically making himself a snack for Dracula by pouring the blood all over himself.
Must have hit an artery. It must have been.
Oh my God. This, honestly, people, if you've ever seen this, stop listening to us and go watch it.
Yeah, Dracula,
because you're gonna have to understand what we're cracking up about. Here's the thing. This movie just is full of it.
It tells the story of Dracula really well. And it has its, like, Hammer-esque vibes to it.
Hell, this is almost, they filmed it on the same soundstage. Basically. Honestly, for last year being the first time I'd ever watched that Dracula movie that Pete brought, I don't know, what was the name of it again?
The Horror of Dracula.
Seeing that, I think, actually made me appreciate Dracula Dead and loving it even more, because I'm seeing all of this, like, even the set design.
I was gonna say the set pieces of outside. I mean, there's a lot of the same beats where they bring the cross out, you know, with the fight with Lucy that is very reminiscent of the Hammer film.
I read that a lot of the script is word for word of the Horror of Dracula, also Dracula with Bela Lugosi.
A lot of those lines are from the 1932.
They just straight up took those,
and then all they did was just throw comedic timing with it, which is pretty clever. And, like, kind of hard to do because of a straight-laced movie, but finding levity in the dialogue, you know?
The scene with Renfield looking into the Demeter, that's straight out of Todd Browning's Dracula.
Yeah,
Renfield did look the same way.
But there's just something about the way that Peter McNamara looks in this.
Yeah. But it's the same look that you get in the original. Almost shot for shot.
No, he nailed it. Like, he studied that and he saw it. And, you know, I can only imagine they watched these movies over and over. And they probably even had it there on set to be like, you know, so Mel can be like, you got to look like this, but you're going to play it like this. You know, that's the genius of it, is he was able to take something that was very serious as far as the original Dracula movies and stories, and he found the comedy in it. He didn't cram the comedy in it. He found the comedy in it. It's like, okay, this happened, but what if this had happened while this was going on? The going into the theater and doing the whole trying to meet the doctor.
My God. For Dr. Seward.
Yeah. That is what you remember now. You know, just.
You don't remember the message for Dr. Seward? Just the way he mocks her. And it's Harvey Korman, who Mel Brooks has worked with from the 70s. Like, he's Edley Lamar in Blazing Saddles. He's
Saddles, History of the World.
Yep.
He's been in a bunch of
movies. And like, all that. He's fantastic in this. Where he's like, oh, a raspberry? That was not a raspberry you just ate. That was a bug. Dear God, man, know. It's a grasshopper that is in your mouth. He's fighting for his life.
Leg is kicking out of his mouth.
Yeah. It's the way he like flings the fork. Goes, I dropped my fork. He's like, you flung it.
That was funny. It's when he flings it back up on the table. There it is, and flings it, and you see it go flying back up in the air. I could watch 3 hours of bloopers of this movie.
Oh yeah, I could only
watch
imagine.
Them crack up. You know, watching these things, God, dude, this is really hard to do a comedy. I'm saying it right now.
Oh, it's the biggest challenge. It's why we don't want to ever try to do it.
I just want to sit here and be like, you remember when he did this part? And
he's just, we're just gonna do the Chris Farley show.
Exactly.
Well, like even like the scene with the stake going through the heart, that's all done in one take. And it's impressive as hell that they pulled that off without breaking character.
It's impressive as hell for what's his name?
Steven Weber.
Steven Weber.
Yeah.
It's impressive for hell for him because he didn't know what was getting ready to happen.
He knew
what to do. Yeah.
Just didn't know the volume that was coming.
Yeah. He knew that. I'm sure the gag was, we have a rig and it's going to spray blood on you. Okay,
cool.
The moment Mel Brooks goes, wait, let me go over here. And you can see him be like, why did he get out of the shot
in rehearsal?
And then he hits it and he gets sprayed. He goes, that's more than I expected. Yeah,
you could tell that you was him breaking character because he also almost starts to laugh a bit. And then Mel Brooks pops back on camera. You could tell that's the saving grace where he's like, she's still a little alive. Like, go ahead, hit her again. And then that time it was already a glorious amount of blood, but the second time is like twice the amount.
And it's just the shining from the side view is what it is. That's that elevator of blood.
And she's it's still him in the not face. Quite dead. He's like, she's dead enough.
That line is the greatest comedy feat ever because it was ad-libbed by him.
That's perfect. Because
he was worried there was more blood.
Which I feel like there would have been. And that I was probably have a the feeling. Moment. Sure there was. They were like, all right. Because comedy in threes were like, we'll do this one too because of how exactly. great it was.
And because they didn't crack. I'm sure and honestly, I think multiple takes would have kind of, that was funny. He got covered in blood, but it looked like he was like, he flinches a second. No, he takes it full force. And it is
square in the face. Yeah.
This is probably one of the greatest comedic effects in a movie ever. Like, find a better one. And I love a lot of other comedy movies, but as far as a practical done and someone's not ready, this is as good as Hans Gruber getting dropped off the building and they dropped him on two to get that reaction out of him. That's the only way that this joke has lived on for so long. And then they go, you know, and Harvey Korman's like, dear God, man, what happened to you? It's terrible. She's a vampire. Well, where's Mina? Oh, she's sleeping. She's fine. I shall go sit outside her room. Perhaps a shower first.
Yeah, perhaps you should enter through the guest services door or whatever.
Could you go through the servant's entrance? And he stopped. Yeah. Like, I feel like that wasn't scripted either because he pauses for a minute. He's like, sure, okay.
Him with that Van Helsing, like, you're not covered in ounce of blaze. You know, life, it's all about location, location, location,
location. Location. It's not my first staking. Oh my God.
The shadow gags are great because we get a wonderful like dance sequence in this movie. But then you got the shadow just being a complete pervy horned up like teenager.
Oh yeah, he's humping her. Yeah,
humping the other shadow of her. Yeah, I don't know. We've talked a lot about them, but Leslie Nielsen, though, like you said, Nate, he makes a great Dracula. Like, he really he does. Really like, I does. Buy it when he's talking.
He's got the when perfect got the white voice. Hair. Yeah, he's the voice. The and it's great that back in the day, Leslie Nielsen was a fantastic dramatic actor. So in the 80s, when he decided to, you know, go towards just straight up comedy, he's the perfect guy for it. Like, because yeah. he knows how to like sell the joke. He knows how to be serious, but in a wacky way. Like, you watch Naked Gun, and that is honestly like such a staunch, hard-nosed detective movie, but there's so much wackiness to it that it is funny. Like, he plays mm-hmm. that character straight, and that's why it works so well, because there's background everyone jokes going on.
Everyone in Police Squad played everything straight.
And yeah.
I think that first Naked Gun, everyone was playing it straight.
No one acknowledges the goofiness that's going on.
He would make, like, in the first Naked Gun, I don't think he made any facial expression. He just delivered his lines very funny. But I think in subsequent Naked Gun movies, he would start to have some sort of wacky expression.
He animated his face
more as he got going. Took it away. The umpire scene, what was that? I forget what.
That's part that two, I think.
Oh, where he's going real crazy with the, you know, the signals and everything. The Queen's part one.
The Queen's part one?
Yeah, the Queen's part one.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, Nielsen.
We didn't watch Naked Gun. We watched.
We watched. Which, but the same thing, though, applies here. He's playing it a very straight Dracula. Like, he is. It's just. His Renfield happens to be an absolute simpleton, as he said.
He gets so annoyed with him. Punish me. You have to. No, they're coming. Get out of here. No, punish me. Punish me, sir. Punish me. Grabs him by the throat. Okay.
Okay. That's really good.
Oh, my God.
But it just when he breaks, you know, Renfield out of prison, and he's going on like, do you think these bars could, you know, hold me back, and like, how dare they insult my intelligence? And he's got this whole monologue, and he flies down, and it looks great, and then you just have the Renfield dummy fall out the window. He goes, Renfield, I fly. You don't.
You don't. You're supposed to climb.
And I love whoever's idea it was to make such a stupid joke of having the bat have Leslie Nielsen's face
at all times.
I have no words for that. Like, that reminded me so much of Monster Squad when he's half bat, half Dracula. And I'm just like, I totally forgot that was in the movie. And I'm watching it last night going, oh my God. And they do it. He hits the window like a bird hitting a pane of glass, and he slides down the window when he's trying to go into Lucy's room for the first time. When he's in Lucy's room and he's making all that noise, and they come buzzing, like, ah, it sounded like a prowler outside. May we search the room? And they're looking all around down the window under the bed, and you're like, where the hell did he go? And he's stuck to the ceiling. Like, no, anyone would see him.
Yeah.
Lucy laying in bed would have seen him.
Right.
And he's like, this door won't shut. I'll give it a good slam. And you see Leslie Nielsen's face. What? Like, oh, I'm going to lose my grip when that happens. And he slams that door and he hits the floor.
I love that. But I love the second time he goes to Lucy's bedroom and he opens the window, because now they have set up the trap of all the garlic, and just the face and the noise he makes, like, garlic.
Jackie goes, look, it's Charlie, because I can't stand garlic. I hate garlic. But she's like, it's you right there. So yeah, I don't like garlic. And then Renfield goes in, and he's like,
just having all of them
on him.
And I don't know what noise he's making when he decides to like look under the covers.
It's so weird. Like, it's really weird noise I've never heard before. I don't even want to try to read.
I know, but then he's just like, I saw nothing. I saw nothing. Like, that's it. Back to the mental hospital for you and an enema and another enema until you come to your senses. And they throw him in the jail cell. He's like, I saw everything.
I love Blinken, though. I'm going to call him Blinken, but he's the guard of the ward. Because they're like, well, we're going to use him as bait. And he throws him into the prison. You're going to stay here for however long. And then immediately, as soon as he shuts the door, he opens it back up. Okay, time to go. You're out of here.
I'm being released. Yep. Good behavior.
Even Ren feels like, what are you doing? I just got here. What's going? Nope. Good behavior. I've been here for like 30 seconds. It was good. Let's go.
Oh, damn this movie.
We should have just recorded a commentary for this movie is what we should have done. We should have just been like, everybody turn this movie on now and then listen to us as we go.
As we just laugh along. It goes through a breeze. I mean, this movie's like 80 some minutes long.
Oh, yeah. It's short. Really short.
Yeah, it doesn't overstay its welcome whatsoever.
No, I'm never bored. I'm never like, oh, well, this part's boring.
Like,
it's got excellent pacing. Comedy movies really do need that. You can't have a comedy and then have this boring section in a movie and then go, oh, wait, we're funny again. No, it's one of those things where I got to be laughing like every couple of minutes or chuckling even in between as it goes. That's a well-paced. And this one just
the so weirdest thing is like, I haven't seen a comedy like this get made in a while. Like, you had the first, Scary Movie is a good spoof. The second one's all right. I still defend the third one, but that's because Leslie Nielsen's in it. But then, like, whatever team, they start doing those really bad ones, like Date Night, Superhero Movie. I don't know if you guys remember those. They were really bad.
I never saw them.
They're not funny. The
Superhero one had Drake Bell in it, wasn't
yeah,
it?
They would try to do, like, multiple films they would spoof all in once, so... It wasn't like how this does one. It knows I'm going to spoof Dracula and that's it and be a parody of it, but still be a serious movie.
It was the right time. Like when the Wayans jumped right into the Scary Movie stuff, they even tried to do it again.
But they had history with that, with like Don't Drink Your Juice in the Hood and I'm going to Get You, Sucker.
But see, those were targeted towards a different demographic. The Scary Movie was the ones that kind of went more broad audience range,
and those ones were
my mom and dad weren't watching Gin and Juice, stuff like that. That not that they were watching, but that was just a generalization the way I put that. But they saw money was being made, and then even the Wayans have kind of fell out of it after they tried to do the like Paranormal Activity spoof that they did.
I didn't even give those ones a try.
I think I watched the first one, and after that, I didn't care. Like, it got too much. Like, the joke's stale now, and it's just the same jokes just with a different cover on them. Oh, we're gonna make fun of this movie. We're gonna make fun of this
movie.
I'll
say one that's done it really well is probably Black Dynamite, but it's once again, it kind of follows the Naked Gun formula where it's just a really clever, smart movie where Black Dynamite is playing it very serious the whole time. Like, but even then, that's God, we're probably close to 20 years since Black Dynamite, if I had to guess.
Jeez. Oh, easily. I think there's one that came out not too long ago that's kind of a parody / spoof. I have to look at some of my messages, but there was one that just came out like last year or something like that. I think it was Michael Jai White.
He did the Western.
Yeah, the Western one.
I can't remember what it's called, but I've been wanting to see
kind of a, it's not as spoofy as these, but it's a comedy played as
he did like a blaxploitation Western.
Yeah. Basically. Oh, really? But it's very, very tongue in cheek.
A funny Django Unchained.
Probably.
Maybe.
Very along those lines.
I mean, the trailer looked pretty good.
Django Unchained.
Yeah. But I just think society changed. Like,
in a way,
where's our Tommy Boy style movies? Where's
don't get comedy movies anymore.
We don't. Well, we don't have, say what you want, we don't have comedians that can command a movie like we did back then. Mike Myers is over the hill, you know, for the most part.
Well, like you also,
but we, you know, Will Ferrell's even kind of fell out of the light.
Yeah,
you know,
like he hasn't done
how many while. How many Daddy's Homes do we really need? You know, they did what, three of those movies? It's like,
I don't even know what that is, honestly.
That's the one he did with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, that, yeah.
No idea.
That was after Will, the Other Guys.
Yeah, Other Guys,
great
comedy gold. That's a movie that we could do.
And like,
here.
He has a bit part in the Barbie movie, and he's funny in it, but he's not, you know,
it's a bit
main
part.
Star.
And Sherlock
a lot
Holmes
of your,
bombed. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of your comedy movies these days aren't comedies, they're Marvel movies that happen to tell jokes, you know, because they do pretty have much people that can tell a joke really well, and that Chris Hemsworth is a very funny guy who also just happens to be jacked, you know.
I think the last one I've known about that went to theaters, I think, is that one Jennifer Lawrence sex comedy that where
it's on
she
Netflix
gets
I haven't watched
date
it yet
to bed the young man by her parent or yeah, by his parents, and it's like the closest thing we've ever gotten from, you know, movies that we probably got in the 90s and the 2000s.
I watched that Ricky Stenicki movie with John Cena that's on Amazon, and it's a Farley Brothers movie. I didn't know until the very end one of the Farley Brothers who did Dumb and Dumber wrote and directed that. And like, there's bits of it being kind of like a Farley movie, but also not. Like,
yeah,
John Cena's the best part of it, but everything else is just kind of a miss. Like,
right. Yeah, it's, I don't know, man, it seems like it's dying and there's really no way to bring it back, because how many times do we talk about, yeah, this movie will never be made now, this movie can't be made this, you know, nowadays. We say that way too many times when we watch some of these old ones. Like we said, Wayne's World wouldn't do good now. You know, Airheads wouldn't do good now. Society has changed. What is it, Pete?
No one knows what a radio is anymore.
Well, no, but I mean, even if you took that exact same storyline and updated it, like, okay, here's my USB drive of my band that I'm trying. I got on SoundCloud and no one's downloading my music. So now I got to go break into the Spotify
building. Yeah. Wait, all right, I kind of like this idea, so I have to break into Spotify and not understanding that's not how Spotify works.
That's not how Spotify works at all. Honestly, though, I think we just answered our question. This generation doesn't have any kind of concept like what I just said about, you know, oh, I'm a SoundCloud musician and I got to go to Spotify. It's not the same as I have a demo tape and I'm going to go break into the radio station to get my demo played. There's no,
if you got a demo tape, you can go straight to Bandcamp or YouTube. You can get your music out there.
The movie would have to be about going viral or some shit, you know? So it doesn't translate the same, at least the comedy we know, the comedy we're missing right now. That, I think that's the big difference of it, is it's just generational type of things. It's like things that worked in the 60s didn't work in the 90s, you know?
Right. And movies, just like anything, it's cyclical. Comedy will come back, just like horror came back, just like action came back. There are these ebbs and flows, and
it will, but it'll change.
It'll come back again.
Yeah,
for sure.
It'll have to morph.
And that's a good point, especially like pinpointing like the 60s comedy to like 90s. It's like, yeah, that's a really good point, because like a lot of that stuff, like, I didn't find funny as a kid. Like, you know,
no, I've usually gone back as I've gotten older and I'd be like, I get it now. But
so, like, but
yeah,
the stuff that works for me is more slapsticky. So like Three Stooges, that's universally
Abbott
funny,
Costello,
regardless. Yeah. Abbott Costello,
Harold Lloyd, Buster Keaton.
Yeah.
We're going back pretty far, but
I mean, it's back pretty far, but they were still relevant.
But when you talk about like, don't have an example off the top of my head, but like, a comedy movie that didn't have one of those from back in the day, like the dude from the Andy Richter show. Like, I don't find Andy Richter funny, and I don't find the one guy, Buddy, what's his name? Andy Richter's friend in that.
It's been so long since I mean, I know Andy Richter because of
I'm saying Andy Richter and I meant Andy Griffin. God damn it.
Oh,
you mean Don Knotts?
Don Knotts.
Yeah, I don't find Don Knotts funny at all.
Oh,
like, okay. Oh, there's something wrong with you then.
Yeah, like, okay.
Ghost of Mr. Chicken is
exactly.
Funny.
You've never
zero
seen
zero thing funny about Don Knotts at all.
Oh, stop.
So,
it.
Right. Andy Richter's hysterical. He is a genius.
Apple
man.
Dumpling Game.
I was gonna say, I know Andy Richter, but I was like, are you talking about Andy Dick too? Like, those are the comedy guys.
Andy Dick is just Roger from American Dad.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that screws up names.
All right, I'm totally leaving all that.
I was like, come on, you know the guy from the show, Ron Howard, before he got ugly.
We never even got to the Howard part. We might have understood it, but you just you nailed down like, no, Andy Richter, he's hilarious. He's like, I'm like, I know he had his own show. But
in my head, I was like, no, Andy Richter was no. The Andy Richter show was funny. Damn it.
I mean, I had it moments, but I don't remember it that well.
He used to crush people and turn them into crystals when he got upset.
That was Superman.
No.
Kids in the wall where they would squish people.
No, that's crush you. I crushed you. Crush and then one time the crusher got in a fight with the squisher. He's like, I squish you. Yeah. And I crush you.
Nothing will ever beat Abe Lincoln on that show. Or the whitest kids you know, I think, is the one that did that.
Yeah. Rewind that shit. Oh, shit. He's behind you. He's hammering my butt.
Hamlet. Hamlet. He's right behind you. Hamlet. He go. I can't watch. Oh, shit. I can't watch. That's our comedy.
Yeah.
You want to go to a commercial now?
Yeah, we should probably go to a commercial.
He's breaking my butt. He's breaking my butt.
He's hammering my butt. No, John
You're
Wilson.
Watching the USA Network.
Welcome to 100 Horrors, a comedy podcast that seeks to rank the best 100 horror films of all time, as dictated to us by a poster that one of us owns.
Every week, we bicker over another film in an attempt to give it an overall scare factor and secure its place in the 100 Horrors list.
With features such as...
But at least I won't die like that.
And...
What would you say to them at a funeral?
We take a light-hearted approach to horror cinema so that it can be enjoyed by even the most squeamish of listeners. So whether you're the person who's never seen a horror film in their life or the person who has a tattoo of Leatherface on the right arse cheek, there's something to be enjoyed in every episode of 100 Horrors!
Are you in search of a refined and elevated podcast?
One where you can sit back with a cup of tea and indulge in the finest film cinema has to offer?
One where precision and polish comes before anything else?
Well, you've come to the wrong place.
We are Cinema Slab!
A podcast where we let our nerd flags fly and review our favorite movies and shows, new and old.
We're all besties.
And one brother and sister.
And we love discussing movies with each other. Whether it's a record-breaking television show that has us glued to our TVs every week.
We're like private investigators, except for no one hired us or asked for our help.
An ooey-gooey practical effects-filled horror movie.
Or a cult classic masterpiece.
You shoot me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize.
We're sure there's something for you on Cinema Slab.
I'm your Scream Queen, Anna.
Yeah, you're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
I'm your gore gal, Hannah.
I kick ass for the Lord.
And I'm your favorite little brother, Hunter.
I'd rather not spend the rest of this winter tied to this couch.
And join us each week on Cinema Slab
as we bond together over our love of cinema
and all things media and entertainment related.
Just when you thought you were safe, the terror continues with another chilly tale tonight on USA Network's Saturday Nightmares.
Or is it a daymare? Am I right?
I'll have the wine. This is good.
Renfield, look at me. I'm cured.
No, master, no.
Oh, yeah.
He runs in place.
Yeah, I was going to say, the running in place and how, like, cartoonish he just looks.
Well, that's the nightmare part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you're being chased in your dream.
In the daymare, you mean.
Right. Yes.
Daymare. That's silly of me.
When he rises from the... Well, that one is like, oh, good, it's still night. He's having a daymare. But it's like the other time when he rises and hits his head on the chandelier, he's like, I should probably move the coffin. Oh, the chandelier.
Or the chandelier. Whichever one is easier. It's just, I think moving the coffin would be easier. It's totally fine.
How about walling up that window you have open into the room where your coffin is?
Yeah, that seems very dangerous to have a window in your coffin room.
You're really playing with fire here, aren't you?
Literally playing with fire right there.
Even like the big battle scene is so reminiscent because you got like that big cross, which feels like, you know, the cross from the Horror of Dracula. Of the
Oh, yeah.
And it,
yeah.
Like now I kind of want a tattoo of Mel Brooks holding the cross. Like that'll be my horror version of it. But when they have Renfield at the bottom of the steps and everyone's running up the steps and like the dummy and how it's just his head popped up and they're running over the stomach. And then the one guy runs over his nuts. Like the body's becoming more and more deflated as each person steps on it.
It's like an air cushion because when they step, everything gets bigger. Like his arms would jump up and you know, his legs would stiffen.
So it's and they would his head popped up from under the floor, reacting to every step.
It's a beautiful sight gag. I mean, and that's really what it is. It's just the ballroom scene, though, is where I have an absolute ball with this movie. They set the trap to figure out who is the vampire and they're all like standing there talking and going over their plot and everything, and then all of a sudden Leslie Nielsen Dracula shows up behind him and he has the hat, the wig hat. Is how are we doing this evening? And they all like, thank you for coming. But they're staring at his hair the entire time. He's like, can I take your cape? No, but you can take my hat. And takes the hair off. And they're all like dumbfoundedly staring at him like he just took his hair off and handed it to her. And then the dancing sequence, which I will always... get a kick out of when they use real dancers so the camera pans way back out.
Yeah.
Two dance scenes that were just jaw-dropping.
Or it would like zoom in on the feet and then they would do little things where he would spin her and it would be Leslie Nielsen and Amy Yazbek dancing. Because you're quite good at this. And then keep going. And you know that they're just building up the gag of eventually, because they can't see him in the mirror and everyone's watching that eventually she's like spinning in the air. He goes, wait till they get a load of this one, and spins her like a freaking airplane all around the room. And you see it in the mirror
of her like just flying essentially.
Oh, my God.
But it's after the battle, like when they get the sun rays onto him, how the patterns of
the burn marks
pop up patterns on him. And then when he finally...
Like a hot dog.
I was just thinking that. I was like, they should have made him like move and another line come across and it looks like the grill marks on a steak.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done.
The crisscross grill mark. Yeah,
the crisscross one.
And then Renfield's the dumbass that accidentally kills him. And
I love that.
It's Renfield's reaction of crying like, oh no, oh no. And then like piling up the dust and making the smiley face.
Look, you're looking like your old self again, master. And closes the coffin. And when Harvey Korman walks over to him, he's like, "You're free, man. You're free. You can do whatever you want. You're a man again." And he's like, "You're right." He like snaps out of it. "You're right." And Harvey Korman walks around, goes, "Come along, Renfield." "Yes, master." He starts walking behind him. Oh my God.
And then Mel Brooks finally gets the final word of Fatusha with him.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't.
He doesn't get the final word, Nate.
No. Right after that, it's credits.
Right. You got to watch to the end of the credits.
No.
And Leslie Nielsen as Dracula says another line in Moldavian.
I never knew this.
For the guy that's seen this movie more than me and you, Pete. Yeah. We stayed to the end.
All right, cool.
Nope. Leslie Nielsen as Dracula at the very end says gibberish again in Moldavian. And it's best when you have the subtitles on because it says Dracula gibberish in Moldavian.
Well, damn it. We should have got a sequel then. They should have just pumped these things out like Hammer did.
Oh, my God.
I'm down for it.
We never got sequels with Mel Brooks. That's another one of those things where he didn't do sequels. No,
they did Hulu did History of the World Part 2 as like a mini series. I only watched one episode.
I think he was really only like a producer.
He was producer, executive producer or something. Some great talent was involved, but it did not click for me at all.
No.
Just didn't have the same like charm to it.
That's the proof. That was modern comics trying to capture what was the norm back in the day when, you know, History of the World came out. But, you know, they always teased like a Spaceballs 2, and it wasn't that George Lucas stopped him. George Lucas loved Spaceballs. You know, he said, "You can do whatever you want, you just can't sell toys." That was the rule that George Lucas gave him. He's like, "Go ahead, spoof it, just don't make toys. That's it." That's all he ever said about it. Because that's the exact same thing he told Seth MacFarlane when they did the Family Guy Star Wars
the Blue
stuff.
Harvest and all those.
He goes, "You can do it. You just can't sell any merchandise." Where's it at? I have one of the only things that got out, and most people don't even know it, but I have Boba Fett chicken that is a keychain.
Oh, I didn't know it was a thing.
One little thing that came out, and I knew I already knew about the deal, so I was like, "Well, I'm buying that." So that's the only thing I know that's ever even made it out as far as merchandise from those deals. So yeah, I think it's just Mel Brooks was like, "All right, next on to the next thing." I did that already. I think he would feel like it probably watered down the jokes if he had to do a sequel and. You know,
he may have exhausted his jokes
for that genre. Anyway. Yeah, exactly. I think that's perfectly fine too.
Like where it's just like, "Hey, like I know not to go any further because it's just going to water down or ruin the previous one in a way or taint its legacy." It's like, no, I'll just keep on moving. I mean, even with acting, like it's not like he's done too much since then. But when he does pop up, like he is Vlad in the Hotel Transylvania movies. And I was excited that it was Mel Brooks playing Dracula's, you know, dad.
Dracula's dad. That. He did it really well. He's a great voice actor. Like, I mean, all he's doing is Mel Brooks' voice. But
he doesn't need to do anything but Mel Brooks' voice. It's so
he's what, 97 now, too? It's like just, he could do, he could just rest, you know.
We went to go see Blazing Saddles at the Ohio Theater, and he did a live like 10-minute walk and talk.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was, you could tell he was pretty old, sadly.
Yeah.
It was a little sad, but he was still had all the energy in the world. And it was just cool. Cause it was one of those releases where a whole bunch of theaters saw it at the same time.
Yeah.
And it
may have been one of them big event type things.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, there was
his son Max Brooks is a really well-known author too. Like,
yeah,
it's just creativity is in that family.
There's a TV show that was on Netflix with Jerry Seinfeld where he went around in cars and got coffee with.
That was a really great episode with Mel Brooks.
That episode with Mel Brooks at his house
him.
I was about to cry. I'll be honest. Aww. Like I was,
because Carl Reiner was his best friend. They'd always go over to his house to watch.
I think it was with Carl Reiner was there as well. It was all three of them.
Watch Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, they would get together and watch them
every night. And then like when COVID happened, that was the thing that like hurt Mel. And then when Carl passed away, it was just like, oh, like he's lost his like best friend.
He lost his buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing episode. There's a lot of good episodes on that show. I actually liked watching that one, but seeing the Mel Brooks one, man, that was, that was my childhood right there. And you see him old like that. And it's like, oh man, not much longer with him, but you know, we got all this to remember him by, you know. I like it, but is there anything else about this movie before we jump into the things?
I think we get into the things, buddy.
We're just going to keep repeating the lines.
We're just going to keep doing the jokes.
I think we've already got the whole movie covered at this point.
Pretty much.
Basically, I mean, except for hoisting up our own boobs and putting them in people's faces. These are British, too.
What are you doing to the furniture?
No hickeys.
I lost it because they come in like, floating, but they're obviously
like they're
on
riding a Roomba before.
I was thinking one of the hoverboards that we have now.
Yeah.
And they're riding one of those. But when he goes, knock it off, and they all hunch down and lumber out of the room.
Like a couple of kids.
I was dying. Jackie was losing because she was already going like, oh God, the boobs, here they are. But when they started doing that, she was chuckling quite a bit.
Jackie got against boobs. Come on.
They
are large and in your face in this movie.
It's the adolescent boy humor that comes out of us when we talk about it. She's listening right now, rolling her eyes. That's how this works.
Stupid boys.
Boobs.
Boobies.
So I had some difficulty here because we don't see him kill anyone on the Dementor, just that he wants to eat the first
and
mate.
It only mentions that in the paper.
In the newspaper.
One captive was killed. Like
the crew dead, one survivor was found.
Yeah.
Don't know how many was on the crew.
That's straight out of the book.
Yeah.
By the way.
But we don't see anything. So technically, I think Lucy is the only person that dies in this movie.
Lucy and the person that she kills, the drunk that she's like, help
That's
me.
Right. She killed the drunk. I totally forgot because where did all this
alive.
Blood come from? Well, she just ate.
Yep.
How much more blood can there be? I forgot about that. I think then there's only two people that die in this movie. Everybody else is alive. I mean, unless you want to count Dracula, but as me and Pete told you, he's at the end of the movie.
Can't believe that. Blows my mind.
He might still be alive or undead.
So, yeah, two people die in this, which... That's fair. I mean,
we all know what the kill of the week is.
Yes, I've got a play to drop anyway.
What do you think? Zombie kill of the week?
I mean, do we even go into
Do we even really? I mean, come on. We already,
It's Lucy. I mean,
it's Lucy.
It's the stake.
No brainer.
It's the greatest kill in most movies.
It's
true. Right? This is what I love my samurai movies for this scene, and this does it better than my samurai movies.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You know, instead of an arm artery spraying somebody in the face, this is just an entire fire hose.
It was a fire hose.
It was just, it had width to it, though. You know, I want to know the contraption they
used. Yeah, I really want to know what they had set up.
Out. That, 'cause it can't be so much air pressure you're gonna hurt.
Not a hose.
Yeah, it's something. It's probably like a really thin but wide like nozzle so that it is wider. So for camera, it looks like a ginormous blood, amount of
it's
blood.
Maybe just a thin,
it's a yeah, like a
long thin stream,
a half inch wide, and it sprays him down. And then maybe you could like quick release an air pressure type thing that it won't, you know, hurt the actor. I'd be curious. I'd want to know. I'd want to know how
the
that
first
was
time
up.
I saw that, I actually gasped. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, the first time you see it, you're not, there's not a ton of blood in this movie. Like, in all reality, other than Janusz cutting his finger and it's, you know, pee and blood.
But it's also at the end of it. The typical Mel Brooks gag either, you know? So,
no.
No, because there's really no blood in Robin Hood, Men in Tights, or Blazing Saddles. Now, there's people that die in those movies, and there's, you know, damage done to people, but nothing that's like grotesque. But I think because they were like, this is a vampire movie, we gotta have blood.
Gotta get some blood in.
There's gotta be some. I didn't even look. What is this rated? Is this rated R?
PG-13.
Okay. So I guess because it's comically done, they got away with that. Because usually that amount of blood in a movie will get you a restricted rating. Yeah. Even if it's for, you know, one scene, but I guess because of the comedy behind it, they got away with it. So, well, let's rate this bad boy then. Lisa.
Let's do it.
Guys, it's okay. He just wanted his machete back. Woo!
Let's have Pete go first on this one.
Okay. Not my favorite Mel Brooks. It's still very funny. It's still Mel Brooks. Saying it's not my favorite is like saying, oh, that pizza was all right. It's still great. Don't get me wrong. It's a solid 7. Again, not my favorite, but a strong recommend. Go see it.
Nice. Charlie?
Yeah, I think I'm in the same kind of situation with Pete. It's a fantastic movie. It's funny. I actually am sad I have only watched it twice, and I'm probably going to add this into my rotation of watching.
Yeah, I think so too.
But it is not my favorite Mel Brooks movie. I can see why this one flopped, although I don't think it deserved to flop, I guess, if that makes sense. I'm going to be just a hair above Pete, but I was thinking about this earlier. I think I'm going to be about 7.5. Definitely a high recommend. I would tell anyone to please go watch it. We did not do it justice here tonight. We all know exactly. This is why we are action.
We also don't do these type of movies.
We don't do comedy.
Reason. Yeah,
we go on other people's shows and ruin their show when we talk about comedy. So
yeah, that's our thing.
Yeah, that's
you
what
want
we're known for.
That's us.
You want to ruin us? You want to ruin your show? Ask Nate.
Bring us on.
But I am really happy that we covered this because I know how much Nate loves this.
Yeah.
And I will recommend, I think watching The Horror of Dracula and then watching this is a perfect double feature night.
It's a great.
Yeah. It's much like watching Son of Frankenstein and then Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Young Frankenstein takes so many jokes out of Son of Frankenstein, not the original Frankenstein movie.
No.
And you have all the jokes are coming from Son of Frankenstein.
Yeah. No, I definitely. But Nate, this is your pick. You put this on the wheel, Bubba.
It is.
What are you rating Dracula Dead and Loving It?
Oh, I'm going with a 9. Like this
ooh,
movie.
Strong.
I figured.
And it's funny, like
it makes sense.
It's probably my favorite Mel Brooks movie, but it's not his best movie. If that makes any sense.
That does make
perfectly
sense.
Perfectly sense.
Like it just happens to be the one that I hold on to the most, but like I have a good chunk of his movies over on the shelf that I've just, you know, collected over the years.
Yeah.
I think I still just need like High Anxiety and Silent Movie at this point. But God, like it doesn't matter how many times I've watched this, like this is one of those movies like Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. I can watch that any day of the week. And I can quote it front to back because of how much I think that movie is hysterical. Like,
absolutely.
It just hits all the right things.
Yeah.
I will watch this again come October. It just does not matter to me. I will keep quoting this with my buddy Dom, and it'll make me laugh equally. So
Yeah, I'm sure some of these will get added into my lexicon now. I mean, I'm more of a, I will quote Spaceballs and Men in Tights. Pete knows very well. I'll even type out quotes from Men in Tights because he's like, yes, it's Lincoln. And I said, did you say Abe Lincoln? I didn't say Abe Lincoln. I said, hey, Blinken. Let's see, I know that movie.
Very funny.
So, yeah, a big recommendation for me. Something that was just thrown on the wheel for shits and giggles, and it happened to pull up.
It came up.
Yeah. I feel
it's the month my of chaos.
Other horror picks would have made way more sense, but hey, they'll pop up eventually.
We'll get to them. We'll get to them for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Nate, I know as much you love this movie, though, but do you have the thing?
I do.
I'm the trash man. I come out, I throw trash all over the ring, and then I start eating garbage. And then I pick up the trash can and I smash the guy on the head.
Oh, that's gonna be a disaster.
All right. This comes from Joe B back in 2006, who gave this 1 out of 10 and said disappointing. Remember when Mel Brooks used to be funny? Well, so did I, and unfortunately, this movie is an incredible disappointment. I could say the same for Leslie Nielsen, who used to be in some funny movies too, but really fell into the same bad shtick. Supposedly a spoof on Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula, it actually has more in common with the original 1931 Dracula with Bela Lugosi. All that said, the jokes fell flat, many of them were done to death. Give him an enema was funny the first time, but the fourth or fifth, it just lost its humor value. Did the bar of what's funny just pass Mel up, or did he just stop trying? Young Frankenstein still holds up after 30 years. So does Blazing Saddles.
I think this person didn't get it.
Exactly. Nope. I think they just did not understand. Even them being like, wait, this is more in common with the 1931 film. It's like, yeah.
That's what this movie is spoofing. They jabbed Francis Ford Coppola's movie. That's what they did. That the whole
hair
is the jab. Yeah. That's the only connection to that movie in this
one. Well, I think that when he sits up from his coffin or stands up from his coffin, I think that's from Stoker's Dracula.
I thought they did that in Bela Lugosi too.
I could have sworn they did that in Bela Lugosi as well.
Oh no! They're doing it in Nosferatu, which they
Nosferatu
also
did.
Were using.
They also make
influence.
A joke in this one, you know,
about Nosferatu.
Yes.
Oh, that's a damn good joke too. That one.
She's Italian.
Italian.
Oh my god! I don't know. Some people just don't get comedy, man. I know.
That's sad.
People are stupid.
They
stupid,
are
stupid people don't understand comedy. Comedy.
But don't worry, buddies. Your one and only friend right here. He is currently with his good friend Logan writing a vampire sex comedy. So you just keep your eyes peeled, audience. Anyone know a publisher? I need a publisher. Turns out, you know, some publishers don't like having two authors. I found that out.
Why?
I don't know. I thought that was a weird rule too.
So
two authors.
So come up with
a
pen name that is yours and
oh, I already got my pen name, and he's got his as well. His is Max Package.
You got to
combine them. No, it's too good. His is Max Package. Mine's Dr. Buster Cherry.
Jesus Christ!
Now it's Package Buster Cherry.
Max Buster Cherry.
I'm the doctor. He's Max
Buster
Package.
Cherry Max.
Dr. Package Buster Cherry.
Look, Sex of the Vampire's Dog is going to change the world. Erotic fiction will never go back to being the same once we drop this book.
You know you can self-publish, right? You
know, oh, yeah. We've from the beginning, we talked about self-publishing, but I'm also like, wouldn't it just be kind of cool if someone helped me out and like publish this bad boy for
us?
I
told you who to call. So
Yep, I know.
You need to because
I'm just, this, you know,
it's
we have
right up his alley.
Our audience, there could be someone that's like, hey, I publish stuff.
Maybe
let me reach out to him.
I have some writer friends. I can reach out,
yeah,
but
yeah,
one person I would reach out to first, you also know. So
I know.
I'm just saying.
Look, I'm not trying to put a cart before the horse right now because it's only like 80% done right now.
It's exactly what you do.
But we're so close to being done.
Good. Finish that last 20%.
Gonna.
The end. Question mark.
No. Yeah. Finn.
Oh, fancy.
So, Nate, have we been anywhere? Have we done anything?
Well.
You already told him about spoils that I had to remind you about last week.
Depending on when this drops, we might have been on Dissect That Film to cover Ninja Turtles Part 3.
Yes. Because Pete swore he was never going to cover it on
and
our show.
We found a way to make Pete cover Ninja Turtles 3, and I am so excited.
Damn it.
Even on though his show. Whole podcast is about doing bad movies, and he's like, nope, don't want to do that one. I don't want to do that one.
Because guess what? It's not a bad movie.
I know. Neither is Speed 2, but yep, we did it on there.
Hockey song.
And then, depending on when this drops, once again, we're probably on Flicks and Friends doing Half Past Dead. That way I can force Pete to do a Steven Seagal movie as well.
God damn it.
Yeah.
See what happens when you go to Japan without us?
Yeah, we make
plans.
Exactly
what happens.
I can't afford
to take all you ding-dongs there.
It would have been cheaper in the long run, I have to think.
I think so. You would have kept your sanity. Because I'll tell you right now, Half Past Dead's not a good movie.
We could have distracted Jody when you wanted to go to other places in Japan. You know, to be like, Jody, look over there. There's a pie factory. And Pete runs away.
See, the sad part is we couldn't do Exit Wounds because it's got a 33% Rotten Tomatoes score, which is triple what Half Past Dead has, and because it's an awesome movie. Hey, Charlie, you know how like July is Action Month? Wink, wink.
No.
Oh, God damn it. Don't make me use my birthday pick, you son of a bitch.
I will make you use your birthday pick for that one. That is not... That wasn't even on any list.
I swear, every time I bring up Exit Wounds, I'm like, when are we doing it?
When you pick it. On your birthday.
No.
Or if you put it on the Wheel of Chaos. That is the second option that you have.
Oh, that's what I should have just put it on there 5 times.
That was the beauty of this. You could have put the same movie 5 times on the wheel. No one really would have known. I know I put the rule it had to be action and horror at least, but you could have at least put two of it on there.
No one would have known. Up the ante.
Not at all. And that, speaking of which, if you want to find out what our next movie is, you have to tune in to the Instagram and watch the very next episode of Wheel of Pain, where we find out the next action movie that we cover next week. So far, we have seen Carnosaur, Virtuosity, and today we did Dracula Dead and Loving It. So that means we've only got 2 left.
I'm digging it because this is not at all anything we would have typically picked, I feel.
No.
Not except for Carnosaur. That would probably have been.
Carnosaur, and I possibly could have squeezed Virtuosity in.
Yeah,
it just would have felt weird not in this month.
We would have had to have done like some kind of like crazy VR month. You know, like Lawnmower Man.
No, don't want to do that.
Come on, it's a horror movie.
What's next?
That's a Neon movie.
Well, yeah, there's 2 of them, so that means we have to.
I'm going to throw my laptop at Pete if he mentions wanting to do part 2.
No.
The first one has Jeff Fahey in it. He is the Lawnmower Man.
Sure does.
Yeah.
That's not Jeff Goldblum.
I didn't say Goldblum. I said Jeff Fahey.
Yeah, but there's only 1 Jeff. That's Jeff Goldblum.
No, there's a ton of Jeffs. Don't pull a Pete on me and not realize that multiple people have the same name.
Wait. My name is Jeff.
My name is Jeff. See what happens when we do a comedy movie? Pete doesn't even know what we're
writing. I have no idea what the hell is going on right now.
Oh,
I should have been drinking.
Pete, we need to.
We need
to get you some culture. That's what we need to do.
He just needs to watch 22 Jump Street. That's exactly where that's from.
Oh, no.
Listen, Eddie,
don't make that face. 22 Jump Street's hysterical.
Oh,
okay, Jack.
So is 21 Jump Street. Don't you put that shit on Korean Jesus.
Nope.
He's like, nope. Ain't got time for your shit.
Are we done?
I think so.
I've been done.
All right. Well, like I said, if you want to find out what's going on, just follow us on our social medias over at Give Me Back My Horror Movies, the Facebook group. Give Me Back My Action Movies, the Facebook group. We are both on Instagram, where you can watch the Wheel of Pain videos to find out what we're covering this month. We are on X. We are on Threads. We are on TikTok. And we are on YouTube. So find us wherever you can. Rate us 5 stars. I know we haven't said that in a while. Write us a review over on Apple. We really appreciate it. It does kind of help boost us a little bit. Maybe one random person in Moldavia will listen to us and write us a gibberish review, and we will read it here. We will definitely do that. So yeah, thanks for listening. Sorry about this episode, but we had fun. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
That is all that matters. So Nate, you want to get us out of here with the good word?
Fushta.
Fushta.
Now let's talk about how I get back home.
Pusha.
You're saying there's a chance.